Welcome to the AnimeCons TV 100th episode. It's been 5 years, and it's been a great run. I remember just back in January 2009, we were meeting in the living room of my apartment saying, all right, I want to do a podcast. I figured the Chibi Project was doing well, and I had this whole AnimeCons.com site. Why not do something related to that? And so I gathered up a bunch of friends. We talked about what we might want to do for a podcast, and a couple weeks later, we shot it. And that was the first episode of the AnimeCons.com podcast. A couple years later, we renamed it to AnimeCons TV because AnimeCons.com podcast was a bit of a mouthful. And it's been a fun ride, but there have been a lot of changes along the way. Later on in this episode, people will be talking about some of the other changes, but what I'm going to talk about is our personal changes. For Doug, he joined our podcast in October 2009, reporting on New York Anime Festival. And he did a great job, and I think he's probably been in more episodes than anybody at this point. I haven't actually counted, but I should do that. And he left his hell job at a hotel, and now if you're looking for somebody in the Boston area, you should hire Doug. Elizabeth, she got married. Just over a year ago, and so also at her wedding, she won Best Cosplay. As for her brother Patrick, he hasn't been seen in a while. So if you know where he is, let us know. Yeah, he's kind of moved on. He doesn't do as many cons, but he's having fun. Sketch and Shiva, they got married to each other. I like to think that all the time doing the podcast in our old studio, bringing everybody together, I like to think that brought them closer. And I was honored to serve as their best man at their wedding, which we called Wedding Con 3, because there were so many convention people there. Gail is the most recent addition to our regular lineup. She joined us about a year and a half ago, but she had been in episodes before that. But in the last 5 years, she's staffed her first con, she's gone to a lot more conventions, and she's graduated college. As for me, I moved across the country. I packed up everything and moved from Newton, Massachusetts to Petaluma, California. And now I'm doing podcasts for my job, more of the back end stuff and the web programming, but I love it. But I love doing the podcast because it helps bring us close together, even though we're 3,000 miles away. And we get more coverage now, West Coast, East Coast. So they got KatsuCon coming up, and there's some West Coast cons that I'll be doing soon, KrakenCon and everything. So, but throughout this episode, we're going to look at some of the other changes that have happened in the last 5 years. We'll also hear from some people we've had as guests that we've interviewed, and bloopers. We'll wrap it up with some bloopers. So please enjoy our 100th episode.
Yo, yo, yo. Kyle Abear here, the voice of the narrator from Dragon Ball Z. Next time, AnimeCons TV goes 100 episodes Saiyan crazy. That doesn't really make sense. But seriously, happy 100th anniversary. That's a lot of episodes to be talking about AnimeCons, yo. Congratulations.
Jeez, guys, ever heard of knocking a little? All right, I guess I'm going to be the guy who's going to be starting to talk about how many convention reports we've done, because for some reason we've done a lot of them. We've been doing everything from Anime Boston to ZenkaiCon. How about you guys? Any guesses how many convention reports we've done? You in the back, I think you haven't. Yeah, how many do you think we've sent? No. No, dude, seriously? Are you insane? Have you thought about how many conventions that would be for each of us? And come on, guys. We do a podcast, but we have lives. No, all right. Any serious guesses? And you who made that stupid answer, go stand in the corner. All right, serious answers. Anybody? Not even movie phone guy? Oh, come on, guys. Seriously. All right. I guess I'm going to have to do it. Hold on. 2, 3, 4. All right. So the grand total of convention reports we've done since the podcast began is, drumroll please. That's right. 40. 40 different convention reports since we've started this crazy project. For some reason, we like going to conventions and we do like talking about them. Let us know which ones were your favorites. We love to get feedback on our reports, know which ones were good, which ones were bad. We try and give everyone a sense of what it was like, even if they couldn't be there. And we're going to try and keep going even to more conventions, even some different ones. We keep doing it. Patrick's now on the West Coast, so he's getting a whole bunch of different ones. Let us know what you think. But at the moment, guys, I can't do another convention until I finish this really important reading. So I'll catch you guys next. Oh, man. Check out the guns on that one. All right. Dang.
Obviously, since we cover anime conventions, we love to watch anime. And we definitely saw some rises and falls of anime fandoms over the past 5 years since we've been doing the podcast. And some of those that were really popular back in 2009, there was definitely still a lot of Death Note and Bleach and Naruto. That's when Hitalia started to get pretty big. The Melancholy Haruhi Suzumiya was still kind of big. That dance was starting to fade out about that time. Remember that dance? Everywhere. And you still had, it's not an anime, but Kingdom Hearts was still really big at the time. Fullmetal Alchemist a little bit. Code Geass was definitely big. Oran High School Host Club. I think The Gray Man around that time was big, and so was Gurren Lagann. And of course, you still had One Piece going strong. And during the 5 years, you saw a rise of things like Black Butler, Soul Eater, Vocaloid, not quite an anime, but that definitely grew huge. So Fairy Tail, which is a good show. And today, probably the biggest show right now in the past year is Attack on Titan. And Madoka Magica is pretty big. It totally like changed the magical girl genre. It was really cool to see that one become so big. Kill la Kill is a new show that's getting really popular. Sword Art Online is a big one too. I haven't watched it yet, but Danganronpa, I hope I said that right, is another one you hear a lot of, especially on like Tumblr. And Fate Zero is another big title. But over those past 5 years, there were definitely three that stood the test of time. One is Pokemon. That one is never going away. Sailor Moon, which is getting a revival with the new show if it ever does come out. And then One Piece, because that show's just never gonna end. So that's what we saw over the past 5 years for anime trends. If there's something we forgot, let us know on, you know, Facebook or Twitter on our forums, because there's so many great shows out there that saw, you know, rises and falls during these 5 years that we've been doing this podcast. And it's been really cool to see what's gone down in popularity and what's come out. And some stuff has been surprising. And we hope to see more of that in the future.
Hey, AnimeCons TV, this is Svetlana Shmakova. Congratulations on 100 episodes. Yay!
Hey guys, Sketch here. So for our 100th episode, they asked me to do conventions on a whole for the last 5 years. We have noticed a major change really going on. In our observations, we've mentioned several times, we felt like some conventions we start going more multi-genre and go away from their anime content, specifically like they kind of felt like, oh, more people were enjoying a broader variety, so they kind of more pandered. Notably was that conventions that had like their name was based off the name of where they were actually located were easily can transition to this, where other ones were like, well, we have an anime word in our name, so we can maybe fudge it. But when your convention is specifically Anime Detroit or Anime Boston, you're pretty much were stuck on it. But it doesn't mean they can't do what they can. So we have noticed that. But we have noticed too is that even if you are a strict anime convention, that oftentimes your content's influenced by your gongars, your attendees, because people will, you know, request to be a panelist and do a panel, and ends up all the panels will be, you know, Ponies, Homestuck, or, you know, the current American cartoon show. We've noticed that. Other thing too is that when coming with cosplays, anime conventions, you know, nowadays, you know, yeah, you'll see a Stormtrooper at an anime convention, and no one cares. It used to be a while where people were like, well, this is an anime convention, you shouldn't be here. You should be, you know, solely anime. Where, you know, cosplayer attendees, they don't care. You're having fun. You're there. Though anime-specific cons will say, oh, well, you know, we are anime-specific. You, if you're going into, like, the masquerade or a cosplay event, we ask that you be, you know, Japanese-inspired. But what's good about this is that there's kind of been a huge cross-pollination of fandoms. You know, anime fans learn about Star Trek and Star Wars or Stargate or anything with a star, apparently. Or, you know, Game of Thrones and stuff like that. And then all these people who are on this end of the sci-fi or fantasy genre are learning about, oh, wow, there's, like, this anime that's kind of up my alley in terms of content. Oh, this is a very fanciful one. This is a very science one. This one's just really funny. So it's interesting how there's kind of, you know, information's going back and forth. Now, there have always been niche conventions. You know, conventions are specifically about one subject or one fandom or something like that. We've always had them. Star Trek has always been noted the most that always have these. But we've noticed a lot of them have been coming up again. I mean, there's newer Doctor Who ones, new Pony ones, new Harry Potter ones. There was even a Xena convention. And nothing wrong with that. But going on, it's like, it's very nice to see that, you know, maybe not things are specifically anime or specifically multi-genre, like, you know, we can say that's the specifics multi-genre, but to have such a focused fandom for just conventions, you know, kind of refreshing, and it gives more variety out there. But it's one of those things, how long can a lot of these sustain? I mean, Doctor Who's been on for 50 years, so in some way or form, a convention could still last, if maybe it varies on degree of attendance or what new content can happen, but, like, let's say, like, Babylon 5, I've seen very seldom people even refer to that. So it's really interesting to see how long, like, 5 years, a lot of these conventions are still going around. Another big change is the social media in the last 5 years. I mean, yeah, we had Facebook for 10 years or so, but we never really had Facebook pages, which this is really cool. We have Facebook pages where a convention can say, hey, this is my Facebook page. You can find me and go to my regular website. Or voice actors can promote themselves. Industry people can promote new animes. Everyone has a Twitter account. I mean, you can follow Nathan Fillion or obscure actor from this or that. And it's very interesting because we don't have this interaction with these people, which one makes us really want to see these people because we find them interesting enough to see in person, and then they're going to these conventions and, you know, you want to go find them. I mean, Adam Savage himself, when he goes to a convention, will dress up in a costume where you physically can't see that it's Adam Savage, and then throw out clues and wait for someone to find him. You know, he makes a game out of it. People with Instagram are sending stuff out. Like, oh, look at this, look what I found over here. And someone sees it, oh, I'm going to go over there now. Also with social media is that we all have smartphones in some varying degree or ability to get one or look at a friend's one or something like that. And there are mobile apps now. I mean, Guidebook is the main one, but Guidebook is an app that conventions can throw their program guide up and people can just quickly access it with their phone and know where to go, what they want to do, maybe plan. And some other cons, larger cons, are just cons that are like, no, I want to have my own. Make their own apps that you can download, and it tells you all the guests, and you know, it's great. It's new technology, just making convention life going even better. With mainstream, a lot of our fandoms have become mainstream. If they're not being referenced, they're the reason why great movies or great TV series are even coming out, because there's a profitability for the industry to maybe slightly pander to the attendees, you know. There's kind of a culture shift. It's kind of like, oh, you like sci-fi stuff. You know, you have a stigma. And now it's kind of like, oh, you like this stuff. You must be an interesting person. Something kind of weird that happens, but this kind of affects the convention life. Because when you say, oh, I go to a convention, oh, like, oh, which one? 5 years ago, maybe, you know, it's like, they're still like, oh, what do you do? What's a convention? But with, like, popular TV shows like Big Bang, Community, that, like, reference this, even if it's just for an episode, or they are in, you know, the fandom, they constantly talked about it, the notion to a broader audience, even if they're not fans of stuff, understand what a convention is now. So it's interesting how the mainstream can go there, because even in commercials, like, they're like, I'm a car, I'm for the every average Joe, and they show all these different people, and all of a sudden, like, wait, was that a cosplayer? You know, was that someone, like, walking to a convention? Or, you know, real heroes of the world is, you know, some guy who saved up his money to go to a convention because he was wise with his finances, and then he sees a superhero walking around with a piece of toilet paper on his foot, and he just steps on the toilet paper so he doesn't have that embarrassment. You know, gets nodded by another superhero cosplayer. You know, like, good going for you. You know, it's interesting how the mainstream has affected conventions going as we go. So, generally, that was kind of an overview of how conventions are now compared to they were about 5 years ago.
Back in 2009, when we started the podcast, there were 158 anime conventions across North America. Anime Expo, of course, came in at number one. That year they had 44,000 warm bodies estimated in attendance. Otakon was 26,350 paid attendees. New York Anime Fest was 21,388 warm bodies. Anime Central, 17,249 warm bodies, or 15,463 paid attendees, put them in number four on our 2009 list. And rounding out the top five was SakuraCon, with 16,586 warm bodies in attendance. Now, anime conventions have only grown over the past 4 years, even though they were already on the upswing in 2009. In 2013, according to our database, there were 234 total anime conventions in North America. The largest, of course, is still Anime Expo. They had a huge growth over the past 4 years, up to 61,000 estimated attendees in 2013. Otakon is still number two, though they didn't have quite as impressive growth, but still substantial. They had 34,892 paid attendees last year. We unfortunately lost New York Anime Fest to the years, but Anime Central is still on our list. They came in number three for 2013 with 28,692 warm bodies. Number four, Anime North, with 23,952 paid attendees. And rounding out our top five for 2013 was FanimeCon, with 25,542 warm bodies, or 23,430 paid attendees. With such impressive growth over the past 4 years, one can only imagine how conventions will keep growing from here.
And so I says, take my wife, please! What? AnimeCons.com turned 100? I didn't even think the internet was that old! And I should know. I went to the first Otakon out in Penn State. They had Robert De Jesus as the guest of honor. Is Robert De Jesus still alive?
Yes, Bill, Robert De Jesus is still alive.
Ah. But then what about Steve Bennett? Somebody must have put a bullet in his ass by now. I kid. Anyway, happy birthday, AnimeCons.com, you old bastards, you.
So I'm going to talk about different ways in which cosplay has evolved in the last 5 years since we began the podcast. And in some of the ways I want to touch on are, first of all, the types of cosplay have changed, which makes sense because fads come, fads go, what's popular, what's not popular changes over time. However, overall, back then when we first started the podcast, a lot of the costuming going on was of current anime and games. So for example, back then, Hetalia had just really come out, it was huge. Gurren Lagann was a really big thing, Vocaloid was really starting to lift off. And so you saw a lot of that, and you also saw a lot of kind of original designs of popular anime and game characters. So for example, people would make a pajama version of their favorite character, or they'd make a swimsuit version of their favorite character, or a ball gown version of their favorite character. And a lot of that had to do with the kind of parties that they threw. Like, a lot of times people would have beach meetups, so there'd be a pool party at the convention, or a pajama party at the convention, or a lot of the conventions started throwing like masquerade balls or formal balls one night. And so this kind of prompted people to do that kind of thing, which was really big then, and I don't see much of that going on anymore. And the other thing that was really big then is we started to get some of this kind of sci-fi crossover. Doctor Who, the 11th Doctor, hadn't started yet, but David Tennant's run as the Doctor had happened, and so there were quite a few fans of that starting out. And also steampunk was really starting to kind of lift off around that time. But it hadn't really taken hold yet. But now, some of the differences is that not all the cosplay we see is necessarily current stuff. We see a lot of people doing nostalgia, so things from when they were kids, like, you know, My Little Ponies, you know, Jem and the Holograms, all sorts of really interesting shows from a long time ago, or younger kids doing like Nickelodeon stuff. And we're also seeing a lot more American cosplay. Like, I feel like we see, you know, between Avatar and Korra, that really prompted even anime conventions to see a lot of costuming that was American animation based, as well as some of this nostalgia stuff. And then, of course, things like Homestuck and Ponies, which really took off in the interim. We see that everywhere now, obviously. You can't really escape it. The other thing that really happened is you don't really see those original designs, like the bathing suits and everything anymore, but you see a lot of crossover cosplay. So, for example, I don't know how many different versions of the Disney princesses have happened at this point, but you can do a Disney princess Dress Sphere from Final Fantasy. You can do a Disney princess Sailor Senshi. You can do a Disney princess Star Wars. You can do a Disney princess pinup doll. You can do, I don't even know. It doesn't end, but that's happening with a lot of series. That there's a lot of crossover interest, and people are doing those types of original designs as opposed to maybe a different, their own version of a character that already exists. We're also seeing, I think, at the time there was a lot of crossplay, so that would be like a guy dressing up as a girl character or a girl dressing up as a male character. And I feel like now it's more of this gender bend cosplay, which is instead of having a guy dress up as a girl character, he dresses up as a male version of the girl character. Or a girl does, you know, so instead of a girl dressing up like, I don't know, a Disney prince, she'll do a feminized version of the male character. So they're seeing a lot more of that happening, which I don't feel was really going on much at the time. And then, of course, we've really seen the influx of, you know, the sci-fi now. Doctor Who was all over the place, you know, and also some of these other things. So it's come a lot of way. It's interesting to see how it evolves, and it will continue to over the next few years. The other thing that's really changed quite a bit is the materials available and the ability of cosplayers as a result. As they gain experience with materials, as they take advantage of access to materials that we might not have had a few years ago. And it's almost hard to do this a little bit only because we've been cosplaying for about 10 years now. And so if you think about it in that time period, it's really changed. But trying to narrow it down to the last five, one of the things is wigs that's come a long way. So for example, I did my first Sango costume in 2009, and I did not be able to purchase a ponytail wig for my costume. I had to actually make one, and it was really awful. And you had to, you know, gather the hair and stub it and try to do your own wefts. You couldn't even buy wefts. You had to sew your own. It was horrible. So now I'm actually redoing it this year, and I could easily purchase one of these, which saves me a whole lot of trouble and will probably look 10 times better as a result. And people wear these all the time. Also, there are thermoplastics, which we've talked a lot about on the podcast, things like Warbla, Wonderflex. Wonderflex was around at the time, but it was all textured, and now they make a smooth Wonderflex. You don't have to worry about trying to sand it or trying to make it look right. You can actually buy stuff that, you know, is smooth already, and so that has been very beneficial to people. We've been able to do Warbla now, and not only is the material available, but all of these tutorials, there are cosplayers making books about it, and sharing things that they've learned now that they've even had a few years to experiment with it and find out kind of the potential of what it can do over time. And that's really put people's ability in the armor department, in the prop department, through the roof compared to where it was maybe 5 years ago. The other thing is patterns. It used to be when you went to the fabric store and you wanted to buy a pattern, you couldn't find anything remotely close to what you were trying to make. Usually the patterns were historical, or they were for Halloween costumes. You would never find something. Now, you can find steampunk pattern. I mean, obviously, these people are wearing goggles. You know, and then you have the, there's not even just one. You have all sorts of stuff, which is quite clearly trying to play to the steampunk community. And 5 years ago, you wouldn't have found this in Joann's or Michael's or wherever you go get your patterns. Now it's all over the place. And there's quite a few costumes. Of course, they can't call them what they are, character-wise, but you can find them in pattern books. And it, there we still do a lot of pattern modification, because obviously not every character is represented, but the fact that even that kind of variety of patterning is available is really awesome. And plus, we also now have cosplayers who are making their own patterns and selling them to other cosplayers. I know some that have patterns for bunny suits, patterns for Senshi uniforms, and the Sailor Scout uniforms, the school ones, and the their transformation uniforms, which have really been awesome, because something that you couldn't buy before, that you didn't might not know how to do by yourself, now is being shared in the community, which is fantastic. And there's been all sorts of advances like that. And as a result, things that were considered maybe a really excellent, well-done cosplay 5 years ago are now considered pretty average. And it's really incredible to see what some people have been able to do with what's available to them now. And that kind of leads me into my last point of things that have changed, which is the community. Cosplay as a community is constantly changing. It's totally different than it was when we started 10 years ago. It's totally different than where it was 5 years ago. And a big aspect to it that's different is social media. When we started the podcast 5 years ago, people were on Facebook, but there wasn't a lot of Twitter. There certainly wasn't the Instagram, and everyone didn't have like a DeviantArt account and, you know, 5 billion different ways to kind of communicate. Mostly for cosplayers, they might have had a website if they were really into that, or, you know, they just had their cosplay.com or their American Cosplay Paradise account, or even I think Cosplay Lab was still going on at that time, although not too many people use it anymore. But now it's all about the social media aspect and having like this presence, and that's how people connect and they share things like stuff they found on the internet, ways they found to make things, organize meetups, organize groups, contests, people, Tumblr. I mean, people are constantly being like, oh, share this and I'll give away something. And that's just completely changed kind of the atmosphere of it, for better or for worse. In some ways, it's been hard because people are now obsessed with how many people follow them or like them or whatever, where before it was a little harder to tell if you looked on someone's page how popular they were or whatever. And I think that might be a detriment, but in other ways, sharing information and kind of being able to go on Facebook and see a newsfeed of people, how they're constructing stuff, or be able to go on DeviantArt and find tutorials of how people made stuff has been really awesome. And so with that, although it's become more competitive, it's also become more mainstream. There's more people who do it, there's more people who know about it. It's out there more, being on social media. People who don't do this see this stuff and encounter it more often than just maybe seeing somebody in a strange costume walk by at a convention. You know, the reality shows that have happened about it, the references people make to it on TV shows, and even I see it on an advertisement the other day that had cosplayers in it. And it wasn't about cosplay, it was like for, I don't even remember what it was for a car or something, I don't know. But it was just really interesting to see all of that kind of incorporated into everyday life, when before it was just this weird hobby we had. So it's really interesting to see where we've come since we started the podcast, and I'm really interested to see where we're going to go in the future.
Can you see the red light now?
No, I can't see the red light.
I can see the damn
There's light. The red light. So.
Blinky.
Blinky. new mascot.
Name it Rudolph?
Our new mascot, Rudolph the Red Light.
Rudy.
Rudy the Red Light. All right.
Where's Rudy?
I forgot how to start here. Okay.
Blank look.
Is the red light on? I don't see the red light. Is the red light on?
I don't see
the
red light. I don't see the
red light. Red light. There's the red light.
Yay!
One, two, three, red light.
Shiv and I show you how to pack for a convention when you're flying on an airplane. You don't want the airline to lose your luggage. Oh my god, I suck at this today.
Welcome to Season 4 of Anime Cons TV. On this episode, I sit down to talk with anime blogger of Anime B.
Okay, cool.
In the shower.
All right.
Don't make her laugh.
No, I'm good.
Dead puppies.
Oh, this is terrible.
Wait, you're not supposed to. You're laughing at dead puppies.
I'm laughing at you saying it.
Kidborn. Kidborn.
Maybe you guys should do this later.
Thank you.
I'm as tall as Patrick D.
Don't you wish.
And I do that, too.
Are we interviewing?
What? Yes, you do.
All the time.
You do this all the time. Look, I'm Patrick D. It is.
Four, three.
Did I have my hair down earlier? I should probably keep it consistent.
There's going to be another segment because the news will be going.
I know, but...
Why don't you change your outfit, too?
I don't have a change of clothes.
Yeah, like when they do the game shows.
Just tell me you got that on tape.
Do that again.
I am no kid and understand that. Oh, fuck you guys.
Thank you.
Whoa. You went all the way to the bottom.
Yeah, I don't know.
Edit this out, Tony.
All right, we gotta go.
So the sound on that might be weird because halfway through the mic slid down my shirt.
Hold on. Ed, you got that on tape.
Wait,
say something.
Say something. Out.
Hurling?
This is the Tony Carey hurling team.
What's hurling?
It's an Irish sport.
It's not like curling.
No.
Hurling is an Irish sport. I'm not surprised.
Is that when you throw logs in the Scottish Highland game?
It's like hockey versus lacrosse, sort of. You have to get the ball down the field using these sticks, like golf club type ends.
Huh.
You carry it on there and then you wail on people.
Of course you do, it's Irish.
Yeah. Little clubs, little shillelies.
Talk something.
Talk something.
How about me? Check, check, check. Sound test, 1, 2, 3. There's a door over there for the Rancor.
4, 5, 6.
So I'm here with Adrian Pastar, who's apparently cosplaying a revolutionary soldier. So Adrian, how do you enjoy the convention so far? No comment, huh? All right. So I'm here with Jim, who has an awesome Red Bull costume. He's apparently a functioning vending machine costume, and it's amazing, all the detail put into this. So how long did this take you? All right, he had some comment, but yeah, you got a whole team here. That's great. So we'll see you later. Pastar? Pastar. Adrian Pastar. It's Pastar, right? Pastard? Pastar.
What? So, no.
The new year.
So at the start of the year, we made some big changes. Nope, just let it go.
So.
roll the first one.
Good. Lovely voice, but you like that.
Just call us at 762 adequate. 762 blah 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 blah. It's all right here, you know this by now. We stopped posting them up on the wall. I never memorized them, they're always written. Join the fun and leave us some voicemails at adequate, also known as 762-233. What? Oh, there's a space. I didn't see that. Because he keeps yelling at us to say that he's running panels.
I'm running panels.
Shut up.
I'm doing shit.
See you next month. There's nothing else there.
Dance monkey, dance. So wait, we're doing tongue? Yeah, we've got.
Oh god, do I do the weirdest things on this show?
And that's different from life because.
Well, anyway, all right.
It's on tape.
I guess.
All right, shut up.
Say the end.
The end.
The end!
You know, I'm extremely excited for you. So excited that in the middle of my vacation out in the mountains where I'm definitely skiing, I decided to record you this message. Congratulations on 100 episodes. This is totally not me doing this at the airport last minute. Which, oh, Bonnie, I see this too much.
So I hope you've all enjoyed our 100th episode. I'm looking forward to the next 100. I don't know what we'll be doing, but I'm sure there'll be some mind-blowing stuff along the way. A lot of fun. Maybe some new people. Who knows? I don't know. But definitely subscribe. You can go to itunes.animecons.tv and subscribe there. You can find us on YouTube, or we've got subscription options at animecons.tv. And tell your friends. That's the best way we can get people watching this, because we want everybody to know about AnimeCons TV. So yeah, tell your friends, subscribe to AnimeCons TV, just check it out, or even, you know, send them an episode or two. Say, oh, you like cosplay? Here, watch this cosplay episode. Oh, you like whatever, you're staffing, send them a staffing related episode. We've done tons of 100 episodes. There's plenty for everybody. And then don't forget our extras feed, where we've got full masquerades, we've got full interviews, and a lot more. And you can find that on our website at animecons.tv/extras. And there's a podcast feed for that and everything too. But we've just posted the AOD 2014 masquerade. Definitely check that out. And we would love to hear your comments. What was your favorite moment from our first 100 episodes? Give us a call, 762-ADEQUITE. That's 762-233-7828. Or email us at podcast@animecons.tv. And thanks for watching. I love this. And it's all thanks to you. Thank you.